Hey, everybody. Before we get into the show, we have a major, earth-shattering, massive announcement. Nikki?
Yes, it is that time again, Pete Wright. Our monthly planning membership is open for enrollment. GPS stands for Guided Planning Sessions, if you don't know already. We've worked really hard here at Take Control ADHD to provide you with a service that not only gives you ideas and strategies on how to plan your day and your week, but it also provides time and space for you to do the work and not just by yourself, but with others who understand and support you. We meet every Monday and Thursday, and there are three different sessions for each day that you're invited to attend. We are dedicated to making this membership to be one that is transformative in the way you think about planning and taking control of your time and schedule. There are so many benefits to the GPS membership, so please be sure to visit our website at takecontroladhd.com/GPS. Enrollment is open now through May 8th. Thank you for your time and attention, and I hope to see you soon.
On with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Taking Control, the ADHD podcast on True Story FM. I'm Pete Wright, and I'm here with Nikki Kinzer.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Pete Wright.
Hi, Nikki. This is a very...
Hi.
It's a big day.
It is. I have a new microphone stand.
It is. It's perfect. We have the same... We're samesies now, but you don't... Like, we're going to fix it, because mine... I think what I send you is going to make things better. For the live stream, you can see that Nikki is talking behind a giant robotic arm. But it's okay. We're going to fix it. We're going to fix it.
Yes.
Fix it, Felix.
I'm hopeful for that.
I'm very excited about that. But it is great and so quiet. And so hopefully we'll have fewer mic stand issues.
Crashes.
We are talking, we're changing gears today. I'm pretty excited about this transition because it's a series on transitions that we're going to do here. We've got a little trio of conversations that I think we're practicing the making active transitions by transitioning the series right around a major seasonal transition. And so we're going to talk about it for three straight weeks. We're going to talk about what transitions are like. And we're starting today with micro transitions or context shifts that sometimes plague those of us living with ADHD. And I have to tell you, I was doing some research on it and I'm going to tease this. My mind is blown by a perspective shifting way to think about transitions. And
oh, I cannot wait.
I have been shook. For the last several hours since I discovered this. Shook, Nikki Kinzer.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I think so too. So we're going to do that. But first, head over to takecontroladhd.com to get to know us a little bit better. You can listen to the show right there on the website or subscribe to our mailing list, and we will send you an email each time a new episode is released. Connect with us on Facebook or Instagram or Pinterest at Take Control ADHD. But to really connect with us, join us at the ADHD Discord community. We love it, love it, love it over there. And it's super easy to jump into the general community chat channels, now many channels. It's really blossoming. And I've been getting some nice comments from people who are like, thank you for opening up the Discord community for those of us who are non-members, which is awesome. I'm thrilled, thrilled, thrilled that you all are here. Make sure to introduce yourself in the introductions channel. It's so great. You can jump over to that main intro, the main invitation page at takecontroladhd.com/discord. You'll be whisked over to that page. You can log in or create your own Discord account. If you're looking for a little bit more, however, particularly if this show has ever touched you or helped you understand your relationship with ADHD in a new way, please consider supporting this show directly through Patreon. Patreon is listener-supported podcasting. With a few bucks a month, you can help guarantee that we continue to grow the show, add new features, and invest more heavily in our community. Visit patreon.com/theADHDpodcast to get started today. Thank you for your support. Nikki, we're going to pivot. Given our community reactions to Friends memes, I don't know if I should regret that comment, but I'm going to stick with it.
It's going to be there, you know, in Discord.
I wonder how fast it will be there, in fact.
It's probably already there.
Given the lag between when we speak and the live stream hits, the few seconds, I'm sure it's already there. We're going to be talking about transition. So let's start talking about the challenge of transitions, and in this case, micro transitions for people living with ADHD. Go ahead, Coach. What do you got?
All right. Well, let's start with what we're talking about. What does it mean? What's a micro transition? Mm-hmm. It's the small transition. So it's the things that you're seeing on a daily basis. It's switching from one task to another, which can be extremely difficult to do. It can also be from moving one conversation topic to another conversation topic, which happens all the time when you're talking and you happen to have ADHD or the person you're talking to has ADHD. And just like regular routine type of things, like waking up in the morning, that's a transition of being asleep to being awake.
That's the real pain point for me. I just have to say, like, that transition and going to sleep. Those two transitions are very, very difficult.
Yes. Well, and I'll tell you, in the last couple of weeks, we've been working on the GPS promotion, and the transition that's been hard for me is going into dinner.
Yeah.
Oh, because I know that, like, I'll be in this, like, you know, mode of getting things done and working, and I know I need to eat, but I know that once I eat, I'm probably not going to go back to work. And so that transition has been difficult. And change of location when you're leaving the house, when you're having to go to the grocery store, all of those little micro transitions that we deal with every day. And a lot of times people don't understand that it's really difficult for ADHDers to make those transitions. And it's a surprise sometimes when they realize, oh, okay, well, that starts to make sense, that it's their ADHD showing up, because they don't necessarily pinpoint that it's the transition that's giving them difficulty.
For sure. Yeah, this is exactly where I am. And we started talking about the perils of transitions some years ago on the show, right? It's been a while.
Oh, yeah.
And that was one of the mind-blowing experiences for me, was figuring out that, you know what, like, this isn't strictly an ADHD hyper-focus thing. This isn't strictly like, something I'm working on right now. It's the act of changing gears. It's the act of my brain saying, okay, we're doing this one thing and now we have to do another. That just completely blows up my day. And it blows up my day in some kind of weirdly insidious ways that aren't related just to I can't get started on the next thing, but I'm mad. I'm like viscerally angry with myself, and it can come out at other people. I'm sad that I feel like I've let myself down by not finishing before the transition. And none of those emotional experiences are put into words related to the transition itself. And it's the transition experience itself that is the culprit for me.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good way of explaining it.
I'm curious when you, in terms of the work that you do with clients and what you see, what is the, when you think about micro transitions, what is the real sort of central weight of transition? What are the kinds of transitions that people have the most trouble with?
I would say the task switching and balance in their schedule, right? So, you know, we talk a lot about time blocking, and I see that the transition with time blocks can be really difficult for people. It's a very common complaint or challenge that I hear, is that you want to work on multiple projects in one day, but you can only do one at a time, right? And so if you start on project A and you find that it's taking longer than what you expected, which almost always happens.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
I don't know why this still surprises us, but it always happens. That this is something that's going to take longer. And now I've told myself when I did my planning that I was going to switch and do something else. And I don't want to do that now. Mm-hmm. And so I get hyper-focused on this one. And then at the end of the day, I feel bad because I didn't get to all three. And I really only worked on one, which took longer than what I expected it to take. And that's frustrating. So I think it's the task switching and that time blindness of not being able to, it's just not easy to stop.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not easy.
So I know we have a lot of other stuff to talk about and I want to talk about it, but can I tell you the thing that blew my mind in my research this week? Because I think it might color some of the other things that we talk about.
Yes, okay. Please.
It's not the transition itself. It's not changing context. It's about changing rewards. Just let that sink in for a minute. It's about the changing rewards that give us the challenge. Do you have an, I'm going to give you an example, but do you have kind of an intuitive reaction to that before I do?
Well, my intuitive reaction is that this is exciting because rewards is a dopamine hit.
Yeah.
And ADHD minds like dopamine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They sure do.
So please expand. Well, what do you mean by this?
It starts when we're kids, right? Think about this. You have a kid who's having trouble with, and ADHD is the culprit, and it's clearly the culprit. The kiddo is out on the playground, and they're telling jokes, and they're cracking people up because they're center of attention. What is the reward in that scenario?
The attention, the feeling good.
The laughs.
Happiness, yeah. The laughs.
They're getting like laughs everybody's from other people.
Right.
Okay. Now, 15 minutes goes by. Recess is over. Kiddo's got to change contexts and go into the classroom, but the reward is different now. The reward is not getting laughs. The reward is paying attention, right? Paying attention leads to rewards of good grades and teacher's attention and all that stuff. But the ADHD brain is still anticipating the laughs, and so the kiddo is still making jokes, right? That's what ends up causing the disruption in the classroom.
Yes, because what I'm understanding is that when you're getting that laughs, you're getting that instant gratification. Mm-hmm. What you're talking about as a reward as being a focused student is long term.
Yeah.
That's like way far in advance. Yeah. Like that has nothing to do with what's going on right now in my life.
Right. And so this is something I've never really considered, that for me, I never look at when I'm working on something and I feel like the reward I'm getting is the ability to be able to move through something or play a video game and get to the end of a level or accomplish something. Like, I never look at the explicit reward that I'm getting or even the implicit reward that I'm getting from that activity. And I absolutely never look at the reward for the next activity that I have to do. I'm just mad that I know somehow there's this unspoken truth that reward is not as good as the one that I'm getting right now, right? And we can call it the dopamine hit, whatever we want, but really, ADHD folks have no trouble transitioning if the reward structure is the same, right?
Right.
I actually have zero trouble changing video games, right? I have zero trouble with that. I have zero trouble finishing a great book and hyper-focusing on the book and knowing that I haven't eaten for the last 5 hours and knowing that I should probably eat, but also I have another great book on my bedside table that I also need to read or research or whatever. I have zero complication making that transition, not because specifically the context has changed, though it has by dint of the reward changing. I'm no longer getting the reward of the research, of the push, of feeling like I'm accomplishing that thing. And that's the thing I'm most interested in, right? The transitions involving changing rewards is actually a big component of being able to successfully navigate the other side of it. And it was actually funny. This was in originally the Journal of Child Psychiatry and Psychology, and it was a 2021 article. And they said, this is a great new thing we've just discovered about ADHD. Well, not really. Like, we with ADHD, we get it. But
we knew this. Yeah,
we knew this was going on. But the whole idea that we can be more explicit about and more aware of the rewards we're getting from this activity and be very explicit about the changing rewards to come can actually make transitions easier. If you tell yourself, I know that the thing I need to do after this is going to be giving me some other thing, or there will be some other reason to do it, and be really clear about that, you can soften the blow of the transition and, frankly, give yourself something a little bit to look forward to.
Well, that's interesting. So yes, I think you answered my question that I didn't actually ask yet.
I love seeing the future.
Right? Yeah. I know. Because my question was going to be, so how do you make going back into the classroom as fun as being out in the playground? Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is that there's got to be some kind of like almost internal dialogue of you reminding yourself of why it's a good thing to also be in the classroom. Is that what I'm getting?
That's right. And that in this article, when pivoted toward children, it's all about the practitioners saying, hey, teachers, let's figure out what the let's figure out what the ancillary benefits of being in the classroom are and make sure we're selling those right to the ADHD brands.
Right. Because this is what I'm thinking is that when you said teachers, that's where I was going with it too. I think you're reading my mind today. It's a little weird, a little creepy. Maybe it's this new microphone stand that's happening.
It is,
I don't know.
Right.
But it's so interesting because that's what I was thinking is that, okay, you have a teacher, you know this about your students because it's probably more than just one, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be a group of people, all students, ADHD or not, that's going to be difficult to have fun and then go into this boring, you know, environment.
Right.
So then it's like teaching the student or the teacher, like, what can you make? How do you make that transition fun? So you could almost make a game out of it. Like everybody that can sit down and be quiet and freeze,
yeah.
Like you could do like freeze tag or something. They all get a sticker or something like that, right? Like
yes.
You could make it fun.
You can make it fun. And how do you do that for yourself as an adult, right?
You get a lot of stickers.
More stickers. Turns out more stickers. I think that there's really something to that. So when we talk about you know, how we manage, right, the dopamine, the dysfunctional dopamine relationship. It's important to treat yourself. This is the way what keeps coming up in my mind is to treat yourself like the dopamine puppy. Like, don't be afraid to give yourself immediate reward. And that's the piece that the researchers came out with was like, you know, rewards can warm up the brain for the next thing to come. And we've talked about this time and time again, which is that when we need to warm up our brains for a task, it's okay to give yourself the reward first. If you need to play Wordle for a little bit, or if you need to do your Duolingo for a little bit to get your brain engaged and warmed up, that can be the reward for the task that is yet to come. And that's not how we think in the other piece, right? Like, that's not how we think when we don't have such a spectacularly neurodivergent brain as we all have. Like, usually rewards come after. They're presents for a job well done. In this case, you give yourself the present as a reward for changing gears, right? Is to give yourself
yes.
a treat, a puppy treat.
Yes. And this, what you're explaining reminds me of when we're talking about, and I'm pretty sure I've used this before in the podcast, if you want to be an Eeyore or if you want to be a Tigger going into a task, that going into a harder task, right? We want to be Tigger. We want to be excited. We want to be jazzed. And the way to do that is exactly what you're saying. Do something fun first and get that brain going with dopamine. And then it actually becomes a lot easier to get into the harder task.
Yeah.
And that's the same with transition, is that now it's easier to transition because you have that, you know, reward.
Yeah.
And Eeyore would be, you know, you going into the task or the transition with that Eeyore persona.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
yeah,
I don't want to do this. This
exactly.
is hard, and right? So, yeah.
It is hard. And I just want to reflect for a minute on the other side of this. Like, everything I'm talking about assumes a pretty standard sort of schedule. But the reality is, for me at least, sometimes when I'm getting things done, I don't want to transition, right? Like, or I need to not transition. I've finally gotten to a point where I am accomplishing a task that needs to get done. And maybe, how am I going to get to the other side of that? And I think eventually the world intervenes, for me at least. Like, eventually a kid will come home for dinner, or, you know, there'll be some sort of activity that I need to transition to. That's what I'm talking about. When the world intervenes, right? When I know I have to close shop.
I also have to say that there's something about trying to plan for them a little bit too, because in our GPS sessions, we had a member who said, you know, I'm going to add this to my GPS process. And she wrote, what transitions do I have to plan for today? And I thought that was brilliant. So good that I ended up putting it onto the slide as part of the questions that you ask yourself in that process.
It's really
because
good.
It's so good, because now you're looking at your day and you're thinking, what transitions do I have to plan for? And now we can use that strategy of adding buffer time, right? And knowing that I need more than 15 minutes to switch a task. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give myself a half hour. And I think just having, you know, and like you said, you're definitely going to have life happens and it's going to just, you know, it's probably going to screw it up your plan, but you have a plan and you're expecting it to happen rather than having it happen and then you're surprised.
Yeah, for sure. That's exactly what it looks like. So I think it's really interesting. And one of the things, you know, as an aside, the new season of What's That Smell, now titled All the Feelings, is live. And in some of my research, we came up with this thing for a show we recorded yesterday that I've been thinking a lot about. And it goes back to behavioral research studies from Philip Zimbardo and Stanley Milgram. And these are guys who did some very dark behavioral research, right? One was Zimbardo's was the Stanford Prison Experiment, and Stanley Milgram was the buzz machine, right? It's how do we respond to authority? And so if somebody in a white lab coat tells you, push this button, it's going to electrify this guy in the other room, you'll do it. That's what they ended up discovering because humans are awful. And the Stanford Prison Experiment, they put college kids, you're a prisoner and you wear the trappings of a prisoner and you're going to go in this cell in the basement at Stanford. And then you guys are going to be the guards and you're going to wear guard uniforms and carry batons and stuff like that. And they had to end the experiment because their brains took on those roles too well and they became awful and contentious and beat each other and it was terrible. So there's a lot of just horrible, horrible stuff that our brains can be triggered to do with external stimulus. So why don't we use that power for good, right? Like, why can't we use some of the external trappings for good to trigger that positive response to change and learn lessons from, you know, what these guys have been teaching us for 40, 50 years.
This is an extension of your kind of aha moment of this. I can look at this differently.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is. That's what I'm working on right now actively is how do I use this research to change the way I think about my transitions?
Tell us, how are you working on it?
Well, I don't have an answer yet. I got 3 weeks to do this series. You got to give me a week.
I want to know right now, what are you doing to change your life right now?
I just learned this thing. I am partaking in the miracle of flight right now. Give me a minute to enjoy it.
Okay.
So that's what's to come because I think it's really important. And I will say next week, we're going to be talking about larger transitions, right? And as it happens, yes, we have Tommy from All the Feelings who's going to be joining us. And we're going to have a three-way conversation about this because as it happens, he's learning the same thing as I am. And so I think it will be a good, ongoing, continuous conversation. How do we build more transition treats into our days?
Transition treats.
Yeah. That's really what good. I think it is. And you know what it is? You know what it really is, Nikki? This goes back to our presentation at CHAD in 2020 about the joy jar, right?
Joy.
A joy jar is full of transition treats, really, right?
Like, it really is.
This is like, how are we using external stimulus to trigger our brains to do something that we wanted to do in a positive way? That's what I'm excited to do. So.
And I love that we're starting this off really around your mindset. Mm-hmm. You know, really around how you're thinking of these transitions and how to work with them, because it's really hard to work against them because they're going to happen no matter what. They happen.
So, and all of the same things I think are true. It's not like I'm going to stop setting reminders, right? It's not I'm going to stop using all the other external triggers that I have in my life to actually do things,
absolutely,
right? I'm still going to time block. I'm still going to do all those things. What I'm trying to do is, let's say, time blocking on my schedule, that fine line between two events that stack up next to each other. Mm-hmm. I'm focusing my mindset on that line. What is that line going to look like? Because I can choose to have it look like concertina wire and horror. Mm-hmm. But I can also choose to take a little nap in a feather bed on the way to my next
thing. Have some transition treats.
It's all about transition treats. I wonder if that's a thing I should be building into my schedule, right? Borrow time from each of those tasks and have a standing template that's like, here's a 10-minute transition treat.
Love it.
And work that into my schedule. So there will probably be more of that in coming weeks. I'm really fascinated by all of this because it impacts all the other stuff, right? It impacts lateness. It impacts job performance. It impacts my reputation with others. Like, it impacts my health and wellness. It impacts my ability to get up and do the rowing machine the way I've committed to do. So all of that.
This is great.
Do you think?
I think this is great.
I hope so.
What a great way to start into a new seasonal transition, right? Yeah. I love the transition. And it's interesting because we did this whole thing about games.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're making transitions fun.
Yeah.
So really there is this huge connection.
Yeah.
Between what we were talking about and what we're talking about going forward. So yeah. I love it. Thank you, P. Wright.
Was that it? Are you done? Do you have anything else?
I think so.
Okay. Well, that was it.
But this is my thought is I like that we're talking about the mindset of it today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All the tools, we count on all the tools. And let's just say, you know, the tools are, you know, notes and systems and planners and all of those things. We've talked about those before. Have those. We're not saying anything about not using those things. We need to use those things. And also maybe the way we think about them and the way we transition through them.
Because, man, if you can start thinking differently, then I think you start thinking differently about all of the tools.
Yeah. I think we need to make a logo for transition treats. Like we need a logo of like a puppy.
Like a little puppy dog treat that has like a big T, like a little biscuit that's a T or something.
Just a big circle logo. And you can stick it on stuff like your forehead.
We're so creative.
So clever. Oh, so clever.
We are so clever.
Yes. All right. All right. Well, hey, this was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for hearing me out and letting me rant. I really appreciate that. And I appreciate all of you. Thank you, everybody, for downloading and listening to the show. Thank you for your time and your attention. Don't forget, if you have something to contribute to this conversation, we're heading over to the Show Talk channel in our Discord server, and you can join us right there by becoming a supporting member at the deluxe level. On behalf of Nikki Kinzer, I'm Pete Wright, and we'll see you right back here next week taking control, the ADHD podcast. And the treat.